Good morning. Graduation time, in a lot of cases, and in most cases, is kind of a sad time for me. We get to know our kids and see them turn into young adults, and then, unfortunately, in many cases, they have to leave. And that's a sad day for me. But that also means that the gospel goes forth from here. And that's really what our text is about today. Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Easter. Sometimes we think that when Easter Sunday comes, well, that's the end. We don't have to clean the house anymore and all the people are gone and oh, what a relaxation time. But really, Easter within the church is celebrated all the time. We continue to celebrate it each and every day because it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Christianity has its power. And we're going to look at a text that's very similar to the one that Mark spoke on last Sunday. And in fact, I was thinking about not using it, and then in looking at it, it is also much different and emphasizes a much different point. Jesus comes to the disciples to prove his existence, to prove that he came in the flesh. And the other thing that struck me as I was reading this text is how great the grace is of Jesus Christ to a bunch of men who were absolutely petrified and terrified. And yet, he comes to them and gives them everything that they need to believe in him, and in fact gives them everything that they need so they can go out into the world and proclaim that gospel. And because of this gospel, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning again comes as the disciples are in the upper room. And we know from the Gospel of John from last week that they're afraid. They're afraid that the Jews, they're afraid they're going to face the same death that Jesus Christ faced. And yet, Jesus comes, whether they like it or not. And as they were saying these things, he himself stood among them. And he said, Peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. The first verse of our text is rather startling, if you would think about it. The disciples are standing there and the doors are locked. And poof, Jesus Christ shows up. And he shows up and he gives them these words, "Peace to you." Jesus Christ, and God the Father by extension, wants them to know, and even wants us to know, that we have peace with him. But we see the reaction of the disciples. They are terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. Now, I understand that if we're in a locked room and someone shows up out of thin air, we would be a bit frightened. There is no doubt about that. But the other thing is, these are the men that are closest to Jesus. They know what he looks like. They know the sound of his voice. If you are under someone or listen to someone teach for 3 years, you know the voice. It's not hard to distinguish. And Jesus tells them, "Peace be to you." But they have a reaction. A reaction that is directly out of the flesh. Fear is not from God. God does not want any of us to fear. God did not send his son that fear would be preached or taught. God did not send his son that we would be a fearful people. But in many instances of our lives, we react out of fear. We are afraid something bad is going to happen. And so we do nothing. We are afraid someone will reject us because of our beliefs. And so we do not share them. We are afraid that someone will take advantage of us. And so we do not help them. We forget what Jesus says to his disciples. Peace is with you. You have peace from God. It cannot be taken from you. That is a proclamation of God the Son to each and every one of us. Jesus Christ has declared peace. And he has given it to you. And this is the resurrected Savior. And yet, in the flesh, we fear. And Jesus asked the question then of the disciples. "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. "Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands, my feet. This is I. Touch me and see me, because a ghost does not have flesh and bone. As you can see, I have." And having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus asked the question, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt?" This question is one we can ask ourselves. Why are we frightened? Why do we doubt? And again, it comes down to who we are as human beings in this flesh. We doubt. We're fearful. We're troubled. And this is the thing that Jesus is trying to get them to understand and wants us to understand. "No, I have overcome death." And Jesus does everything he can to make sure that they understand this. He lets them touch. He points out the holes in his hands and in his feet. And says, "Here, handle me. Here, come and touch these holes. See who I am. There's proof standing directly in front of them. God is revealing Himself to each and every one of us through His Word. And this is what God does, because He wants no man to doubt or to fear, but everyone to come to the knowledge that He is indeed died for their sins and resurrected to bring new life to them. See me. See the flesh on my bones. And then touch me. Mankind is able to touch the resurrected Son of the living God, trying to make sure that there is no doubt that He is alive. And yet, again, we see the disciples. And I think this is just absolutely interesting as you go through this text, because from the beginning to the middle, they're still doubting. But while they still could not, verse 41, believe because of their joy and were amazed. And that, to me, is something that's very interesting. Now it's almost like, I can't believe because it might not be true. He's standing there in front of them and he's saying, touch me. And they're feeling him and they're so joyed to see him. And yet, can it really be true? And we tend to ask the same questions. Can it really be true that God sent His Son? That God allowed Him to die for my sins? That God allowed that blood to be shed on the cross to cover my iniquity? And that He really raised His Son for my righteousness so that I could be proclaimed righteous and have a new life in Him? You see, these are the questions that arise in each and every one of us. And the disciples are no different. We sometimes think of the disciples as these great, stellar Christians. But when you read the stories in the Gospels, and you start to read Paul and Peter, you start to find out they're just like us. They have the same doubts and fears. But Jesus Christ has come so that we would not have this, but rather that we would have peace. And He goes on to prove who He is by asking, do you have anything here to eat? And so they gave Him a piece of fish and honeycomb, and He took and ate it in their presence. And He spoke to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while you were still with me, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus does something very human at this point. He says, do you have anything to eat? And He takes a fish and He eats it. Now, I remember when I first heard about this text, it was many years ago, and I remember somebody explaining it to me, and he goes, now, if a ghost eats a piece of fish and there's no body there, it's just going to fall on the floor. And I thought that was kind of funny. But I also thought, indeed, that's true. Jesus Christ was resurrected in the body. He is the first fruits. And we too can know that we will receive this resurrection. It has been given to us. It has been given to mankind. Because He took the sin of mankind upon Him. And then Jesus goes on to explain all of this to them. He tells them about his life, death, and his resurrection. And he explains that the law of the prophets and the Psalms all spoke to this, that this was going to happen. All the things that God required of mankind were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And now we take on his merit. And Jesus kind of questions them in a funny way. You know, it's more like, don't you guys get it? I told you all of these things. I told you of my death. I told you of my resurrection. Now see and believe. Now hear and believe. And we also know from the Gospel of John that at this point he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That Holy Spirit he has given to us so that we would believe, so that we would have the power of God working in and through us, that we would not reject this message, that our flesh would not rule us, but the power of God would be in our lives. And God, or Jesus Christ, has given us everything that we would believe. He has given us His Word. He has given us His grace and His mercy. And He has given us the Holy Spirit that we would believe this. And He has sanctified us. That means He has set us aside for a holy purpose. Are we still terrified? Or do we hang on to this message? Do we know Him? You see, this is really becomes the question. Because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. This is where we are at. And then He calls His disciples and He calls us now as followers of Him to be witnesses of these things. And He opened their minds to the understanding of the Scriptures. And He also said of them, "This is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of this thing, these things." And as I was reading this, and especially working on this yesterday, verse 45 says, "And He opened their minds to the understanding of the Scripture." God Himself opens His Scriptures to us and reveals His Son to us. And I think that this is very enlightening, because it does not say that He opened their hearts. It says that He opened their minds. Our hearts, unfortunately, can be very deceitful. And so we are called to know the Scripture, to know what it says, and to know the promises of God. So that even when we feel that they aren't true, we can go back to what God has taught us through the Scripture. That indeed He sent His Son to die for us. That indeed we are His children. You see, because there's many times in our lives through suffering and through all the things that we face in this world, that we will feel that we're not very close to God. Or in those times when we find ourselves that we've fallen and we're in the midst of sin. Well, God can't love me now. And that's a lie. God sent His Son to the cross to forgive us. And if God has forgiven us, It is done. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for those sins. And yet, a lot of times, we have heard the studying and the head knowledge of Scripture poo-pooed. That is just wrong. What better thing to know than the Word of God? What better thing to spend time in studying and learning? What better thing to teach and to proclaim than the Word of God? And as you read and you study the Gospels, you find out that the Gospel comes with repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This is the message of Christianity. Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of our sins and has been raised to new life, and calls us to be conformed, to change our minds, to repent of dead works. You see, Christianity is a message that is much different than a lot of times what we think it is. It's not a message of how it feels to be a Christian. It's not a message of morality. It's not a message of fear. Well, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. It is a message of forgiveness and new life through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all this was to start in Jerusalem. For the disciples, they were to start in their own hometown, right where they were at. And so we too have this example. We are to bring this message to our hometown, to our friends, to our neighbors. This is where we are to proclaim the Gospel. Sometimes we wonder, well, what am I supposed to do? Now I believe this. Teach and proclaim the Gospel of Jesus Christ to your friends and to your neighbors. Not out of obligation, but out of the love that you now know you have received. Bring the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins to all those that you come in contact with. And by doing this, neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, person to person, this message will go to all nations. And this is what Easter is all about. And this is what it means to have peace with God. That you can go to your friends and your neighbors and not worry. Will some of them reject it? Yes. But that is not our calling, to make them believe. As we see throughout the example of this text, Jesus Christ provides all the proof that people need to live. Our job is to proclaim and bring that message, and God will make the increase. And so, as we leave here today, and even as our graduates leave here and move on to new places, proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, and repentance and forgiveness of sins through his blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and give you thanks for your word. And Father, for your working by the power of your Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, that we would believe. Father, we ask not only that we would believe, but that you would give us that peace that you have proclaimed to your disciples. And that, Father, we would be able to go into our world, to our friends, to our neighbors, and show them the love that you have showed us. That, Father, your gospel would be proclaimed in our hometown. And also, Father, as it goes from neighbor to neighbor throughout all nations, that, Father, all men would come to know of your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy, and of the new life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts.